Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Velocity Athletic Training Radio, created and hosted by Layla Smolak, your number one personal trainer with a wealth of knowledge, education, and experience in the fitness industry and areas of management, corporate wellness, programming and training, nutrition and business owner. Layla will have you get up, move, unleash your inner athlete. Here's your host, Layla Smolak.
I love that music, and I love Tasha's voice. Welcome, fans and followers, to Velocity Athletic Training Radio. I'm your host, Layla Smolak, and I'm coming to you live from Blaine, Washington, USA. Tune in, follow, and share the show. Velocity Athletic Training Radio is on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, and Podomatic. If you are interested in advertising your products or services on Velocity Athletic Training Radio, feel free to visit me at www.advertisecast.com/613 or email me at iwin@velocityathletictrainingradio. All right, we're going to get into this. So today's show is a reflection of the challenging times we are experiencing, the new era of bullying. And I would love to welcome this amazing woman to my show, Michelle Tremblay, founder of Empower Lives, located in British Columbia, Canada. Welcome back to the show, Michelle.
Thank you, Layla. It's so great to hear your voice. And I tell you, that introduction made me think that you were running out into a stadium with people cheering you on. It was awesome.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's been quite the challenge for all of us this year as we're transitioning into a new way of living, and how we are communicating with each other is a lot different. I know we're going to talk about a lot of different things today, so just jump in anytime and let me know what we've got for questions, and we'll jump in and share as much as we can to help support people.
Just to touch upon exactly what is it that you do?
So my background has been in working with adults, children, and youth for over 18 years now, right across Canada. And my work has specifically been around the aspect of bullying. And the aspect of bullying is not just for us to walk out in public and wear a pink t-shirt and say that this one day of the year we're going to not treat people meanly or say unkind words, but to do this and really take a look at what's going on underneath that. So my work is really getting to the deeper issues of what's going on within people's psyche, and using the medium of martial arts, yoga, anything that's really going to help integrate the body with sometimes people having trauma and different things that has not been healed. And the aspect of all of that can come out with anger. We see it in very prevalent in the world right now. I'm giving people an opportunity to take full responsibility and to be empowered, no matter whether you are someone who is looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, you know what, I need to be kinder, or, you know, maybe I'm a bit more passive and I actually need to start speaking up. So we want to work together and help people deal with those kinds of things that they struggle with.
When I first had you on my show, we discussed, and I think this is very important to begin with, the youth, today's youth, because they obviously are facing a lot more challenges, especially in this, I don't even want to say that word, the P word, the pandemic, there,
yeah.
I said it. So having said that, we are seeing a lot of things rising up from this, And, I mean, it's not just because of this. I mean, I think it's been going on. A prime example, I mean, when I was growing up back in the day, and I'm just going to use this as a marker here, but, you know, I was quite athletic. And when you have a group of, I'm going to say it, you know, alpha females playing sports, you know, you tend to start teasing each other. And back then, you know, we'd say is, "Coach, she said this to me," and then coach would say, "Okay, you know, cool down, girls, relax," right? But I think in this day and age, we're seeing a different type of, and it's got the word bullying attached to it. So what characteristics does a bully have to actually classify it?
Yeah, they are someone who is a repeated behavior of aggression, and it's over and over. So they're specifically pointing someone out to diminish them, threaten them. They may take their lunches, throw it in the garbage. They may do other things to that one specific person. And over a period of time, this is what we're seeing, is that kind of behavior in that person, that they're not just doing that with that one person. They're consistently doing that throughout their whole teenage or even their younger years. And we want to break that down to figure out what's going on with that mentality, and what's happening under that is the emotional body. The fact that they may be struggling with all sorts of things that are going on, and being able to help them regulate that.
Now, I believe it starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, when a child is experiencing, and teachers would know this, when a child is experiencing some form of bullying from the parent, whether, you know, it be abuse, and abuse falls into many, you know, three categories: mental, emotional, physical. I think that carries over into school, and I think the child or the youth, they begin to act it out and target their victims, right? That's the proper
mm-hmm.
word to use.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the target who is, I believe that a bully goes after someone that has low self-confidence, you know, may have anxiety, and that could be the bully as well, correct?
Oh, definitely. They've got a lot
yeah.
of emotion, and usually in that situation there is trauma, and, excuse me, it's being acted out in a different kind of a way that you would kind of look at them and think, well, there's no way that there's anything else that's happening unless you have some kind of a background to understand
mm-hmm.
what the signs are. So most definitely, I completely agree with you. I grew up in a very strong family with strong family values. And I was taught about right and wrong and treating people with respect and showing kindness and helping others. And if you're modeled that behavior in your younger years, you will see that as a way to connect with other people and build relationship. But if you grow up in a very angry environment and you're constantly put down and mentally and emotionally abused, most definitely you're going to be, excuse me, pretty emotionally upset about anything, and you don't know how to deal with it. So who's going to be the next person that you're going to feel better about is someone that you pick on.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're very correct in saying this. My upbringing was my father communicated with us all the time. I'm the eldest of five kids, so I had more of a responsibility on my shoulders to sort of set the example for my siblings. So I got the lectures most often. And you know, there were days, I think, you know, my dad would say, "Okay, come here, we're going to have a talk." I would think in the back of my head, "Oh no, what did I do wrong?" Right? But in all reality, you know, he was just teaching me. You know, as I got older and started to reflect on his conversations with with me and my siblings are, you know, I appreciate that he sat down, bless his soul, and would communicate. And at times I would start crying while he was talking to me, and then he'd say, well, why are you crying? I'm like, I don't know what I did wrong. He said, you didn't do anything wrong. I'm teaching you about, you know, what to look for in your life and about your future. And I believe that once a parent bridges that gap with their child, just opening up the lines of communication, it makes a difference. I did that mm-hmm. with Troy, my son. You know, I started at a very young age with him as well. I felt that opening up that trust, right?
And Dr. Newfield talks a lot about, you know, the attachment theory, which is being able to have that parent like you did. You felt safe and you were able to, like, feel like you could probably talk to your dad and ask him about anything.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what you want to create with your children, is that safety for them to, you know, sit down with you. The way I established it with my son is that on the weeks that he was with me, you know, he, 1 week with his dad, 1 week with me. So I felt that on my end, it's very important to establish rapport and trust with my son. So after dinner, we would sit and I would say to him, okay, so it's your turn. You start off this conversation. Say whatever you wish to me. It's a safe environment. Share whatever you need to. And on the other hand, I would explain that I also do the same thing. So he understood that, you know what, Mom's going to say her piece, I'm going to say my piece, and there was that trust. So what would you recommend, other than just, you know, well, I think that's a very important aspect for kids. What would you recommend aside from that? What do you see in the schools or the children that you work with?
What's great about what we can do in situations where we do have kids that have those kinds of personality traits that are coming out is we recognize them, and then we're going to work around the fact that there's opportunities still for those children to have one caring adult in their life. And that could be a teacher, it could be the coach, and it can be the work I do, which is having an instructor come in an after-school program and be able to facilitate the teaching and the learning, educating, but being that solid, stable person that sees them even that once a week can completely change sometimes how they're seeing their world and how they're showing up in their behavior, because they're building a relationship. And so what we see in our area here with the work we're doing is that socioeconomically, if there is challenges in some areas, and we've got some of those situations at home, when we have those people around these kids, that they're more excited to come to class or school, and they're more engaged in a class when they've got someone that really cares for them. And that's really the message. Now, that's not happening as much now with us being in this pandemic, but we are doing this online, and it's still creating that same atmosphere.
You know, you're absolutely right with what you just said about it. You know, it can take one person that makes a huge difference in the child's life. I had my son in various sports. So I had him in football, I had him in hockey, air cadets, 4-H club, excuse me. Out of the lot, I put him in taekwondo. And I tell you, what a difference. Not to, you know, disrespect any of the other sports out there, but what I found with the martial arts was that as soon as he entered the dojo, you know, you have this instructor there that is outside of, you know, his, you know, my son's circle, which is myself, teaching him about respect, about self-control, you know, good behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you take a child and put them in that environment with that, you know, instructor that is just, I mean, I found it very powerful. And then the whole environment is being operated in that same respect. So you have the other children, basically, they're all respecting each other.
Mm-hmm.
I found that so powerful. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to get into this. So that he looks at me and, oh, I got to respect mom now. You know, it was quite empowering to see the transformation in our relationship, especially as he got older. You know,
mm-hmm.
yet again, you know, when they go to school, you have different dynamics happening in the school system. So that means all the different, you know, kids in the system that are, like you said, coming from challenged socioeconomic environments at home, where the parents just, oh, it's a phase that they're going through, and they're not paying attention to
mm-hmm.
the actual messages that their child or youth is giving to them. And that comes in many
mm-hmm.
forms. And I watched it with my son, you know, little messages, little comments, body language that told me, okay, there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe what's changing in society with these bullies, I mean, I think they come in many forms, is that, pardon me, you have gangs now coming in. And
yeah,
they are
and
taking
you
that.
Know,
right?
Yeah, and they're...
It's a reality.
And as you said,
too,
and it's a place where they want to belong. They're fitting in somewhere that can be very flashy with money, drugs, like all that kind of stuff. And if you do have... There's studies that have been done with kids that have challenges throughout their teens and when they're younger. And if they do have those tendencies that they've got aggression and they've had even trauma too for all of that piece of their life, that they're more apt to get involved in risky behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big signal for all of us. And I know, you know, I'm very passionate about my training and my martial arts. And all I can say is that you need to have your kids involved in sports in some aspect. And martial arts would, obviously, for me, I'm very, you know, focused on that kind of a realm of training. But there's great sports out there, too, that have wonderful
yeah.
coaches that you're getting your kids away from just sitting around not doing anything. And what you're getting them to do is actually being taught about life and about leadership and about treating people with respect and kindness. And team things will happen. Girls will have dynamics that go on in the team. And I've actually done stuff for a girls' soccer team just to help build up their self-esteem and their confidence to work with each other. So you think about those things, those are actually the biggest learning in life is when we actually have experiences that we have to go through. Whether we lose a game or someone gets, you know, something happens, that's when, you know, the parent's role steps in to talk about it and also to talk about what happened and be there as a support. It's a lifelong job. And, you know, I'm blessed to still have a dad who's alive at 81 years old. And who's still my greatest teacher and hero in my life for everything that he's done. So if we don't have those kinds of people, that's where we're going to be looking at the coaches and the mentors that we have around us still to guide us on this path that we're on, all of us are in life.
I absolutely agree with you. So having said this, you know, we touched upon adults, the home environment. What about the work environment?
Yeah, the work environment, and I can say, yeah, the corporate kind of workplace. So this is the big aspect of my work was very well received when I was working with children and with adults, or sorry, with teens. And what I found is that the more that I worked with kids and teens, that there was a link missing. And it was the adults that needed this even more than the kids did. And that's not to judge or disrespect in any way, but to understand that maybe we didn't get raised with some of these things that we need to learn as an adult. And that's where it would show up, is in the corporate world. And I would see the power struggles. I would see dynamics with supervisor who was older to younger, or vice versa. And I would see a lack of respect and a lack of kindness, and just going that kind of extra mile. There was a lot of entitlement, and it started to just, it was fascinating for me to watch when I started to research. And at the time they were saying, it was about a year, 2 years ago, I did this call with WorkSafe BC. They would get 40 phone calls a day just on workplace bullying.
Wow.
So that was fascinating to me, but it really made me realize that there's a deep issue that adults need to take a look at themselves and say, you know what, maybe I'm part of the problem and I need to be responsible for my aggression or how I speak to my staff. But if you don't have that coming from the top down, it's going to be really hard for you to move within an organization where you're going to feel that mutual respect and understanding.
So, excuse me, what would you recommend to a corporate head in relation to this issue? I know on my part, I dealt with it. I managed a gym that, my gosh, I don't even go into great detail about that. But, you know, I found I was a lot of the employees, I was a go-to person where, you know, there always seems to be this one individual, right, that sort of runs around and causes riffraff here and there. I think that's in every organization. But I found that when other departments, people from other departments coming to me and saying, you know, so-and-so said this to me, I mean, it was getting to the point where they were being told that they're stupid and go back to your country, which, you know what, no, you don't treat people that way. And so I would go to the owner and sit down and say, listen, you have an issue going on here and you need to correct it, because what can happen is that this individual will end up assaulting someone. And I saw it in the behavior, I saw it in the individual's body language. His eyes spoke it. Like, people, I mean, the eyes are the mirrors of the soul, correct? So when someone looks at you in a certain way, you just know. And I warned him. I warned the owner. I said, this is going to be a problem if you don't correct it. Well, it ended up being a problem, and they got sued because that individual actually assaulted another employee. So what measures, I mean, there are laws, right, to follow labor laws, but, you know, employees can go to the, excuse me, to the labor board, file a complaint, all that, that type of thing. But what can they implement within the corporation itself? What have you recommended to these corporations?
Well, it's interesting because I know that part of it always starts from the top down, and obviously there's going to be policies and zero tolerance for that kind of behavior. And when I'm doing my work, I'm actually working with the leaders. of the banking institutions or what other organization that has strong values as their mission. So the whole corporate organization has to really walk the talk. If they say they treat their staff with respect and everybody's equal and all that, that actually always has to be demonstrated consistently from the leadership, from the supervisors, from everybody that starts from that top down. When you start to see that there's a mishap in that, it's just like role models as parents. We're looking at the same thing. We're looking at people that are, you are going to be in a position where people are going to be watching you. So what are you going to choose? And that's consistent. So if I'm going in, there's a lot of house cleaning that starts to happen. And, you know, people are given opportunities to really take a look at themselves. And sometimes there are individuals that are getting written up for their behaviors now, and they're getting warnings. And they're being told, like, this is not okay. If you need to get counseling or you need to get some coaching around this, you need to change or you're going to be gone. And that's how clear it becomes. But it has to start with the idea that this organization will not tolerate this kind of behavior. If you are a, you know, if you're a clerk at a grocery store and you've already made a couple complaints to the supervisor and the supervisor does nothing about it, well, then you go to WorkSafe BC and you go above that. But it'll get to a point where if you're not getting any support from your employee environment, then I always say to people, because they will come to me, that maybe it's time for you to leave and find somewhere where you're going to get the qualities that you're looking for, because there's great employers out there.
So what organizations would you recommend to anyone that is experiencing workplace bullying? I think it's more common now, especially now with what's going on. That seems to be extracting it out into the environment. I know there's the labor board. What other organizations within that realm of, without having to go see a lawyer or anything that, like that, that's, you know, financially...
Yeah, it can be challenging. WorkSafe BC is the best one to talk to because they'll actually do up a report with you and they will talk about the experience, and they may even go in to the organization and find out what's really happening through HR. So it's really clear now that this is all brought to the light, and organizations that are not following this are going to get called out on it. And it's not something that can be hidden anymore as an okay behavior to be aggressive and to have this power trip that goes on because of maybe the position that you're in or the rights that you have as a leader. And it's unfortunate that, you know, sometimes people, it's a little bit too late when a whole bunch of people have left and then there's still this one person that's standing within an organization. I've had people come to me and say, you know, I have a really good friend who runs this corporate company, and I know he's a bully. He's like, what can I do? And even as a person that has a good friend out there or someone that works in these organizations,
I have to interrupt. We're running out of time. I'm so sorry, Michelle.
Oh, sure.
Is
That's
there?
Okay.
I know. We can do
we
part
can
two.
We can talk all day.
is there anywhere, you know, a website, contact information, just in case someone wants to contact you to look into their environment?
Most definitely.
Do you have a website?
My website is it's www.m as in Michelle, power, P-O-W-E-R, lives, lives.com. And you're welcome to send me an email from there. You can just go to the contact link. It's info@empowerlives.com. I have work I do all over. My work is in any kind of business organization, and it's really dealing with people. But I want to just mention, too, mental health is really big right now, and I have a lot of great things I can offer through what's happening online to a big audience.
Wonderful. Okay, we have to sign off. 30 minutes goes so fast. Thank you so much for being on the show, and we can talk about part two. So thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's been an honor talking with you, and it's amazing. Your work is amazing. Anybody listening, tuning in, we are now over, and we are out.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Velocity Athletic Training Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Velocity Athlete. Visit us at www.velocityathletictraining.com. Get up, move, unleash your inner athlete. Believe it, be it, live it.